Well, good evening, any of the listeners in PSC land. We are gathered at the 12th floor of the state capitol for public input session on the natural gas rate case that Xcel has before us. It's case number PU-21-381. This is an opportunity for the public to tell us what kinds of thoughts or concerns they have with what the company is requesting. And so we look forward to hearing from you and hope that, we get a lot of good participation this evening. We tried to make it as accommodating as possible, keeping it virtual and with the weather that we're experiencing throughout the state and most certainly in the Valley. I think that's a good plan. Hopefully folks can do this from the comfort of their own home. Just a couple of things of details about how this next hour is going to work. We'll be turning it over to the company here in short order for them to give some brief introductory remarks about what the rate case is, why they are seeking these increase in rates, provide the justification for the increase that they're seeking, and then we will open it up for public comments. So it's really not all that much delay in the time, but we do want you to have the background of the basics of the rate case and what's driving it. There are some interesting and other factors that are at play right now in the natural gas for natural gas customers, and that is that in addition to the company requesting this 10.5% increase in base rates, which is not an increase in your whole bill, it's just the base rate piece of your bill, they are already collecting that in an interim rate. And that's a requirement under the law that they can seek that interim rate and start collecting that while we process the case. If we settle on a lower rate, customers will be credited back the additional or the excessive money that they paid over those number of months. So that's one thing. There, you're also seeing in the bills a charge for the increased gas costs that the company had to expend back in last February during the winter storm in Texas, which drove up the cost of natural gas nationwide and including for Xcel customers. So you're seeing a surcharge on your rates right now to cover that increased cost of gas rather than collecting it all in a short period of time, which would have been, you know, several hundred dollars increase all at once. We have stretched that increase out over the course of 24 months. So that's on your bill right now. And then you're seeing just significantly higher gas prices. The cost of the gas commodity, which you're using a lot of right now to keep your house warm in the winter, that cost is double or so what it was a year ago at this time. So that is probably the biggest driver in the increased rates that you're paying today over last year. That's kind of the overall background. I wanted to highlight those three components that are at play right now. And, you know, it is really challenging timing. We understand that. And we are doing our very best here at the commission to dig through the details of this case and ultimately arrive at the lowest possible number in terms of an increase that we think is necessary for the company to maintain reliable services to you. So with that, I'm going to invite my colleague, Commissioner Randy Christman, to offer any comments this evening.
Well, I think you summarized it very well. Just to reemphasize a couple of points, that the interim rate hike that Xcel Gas customers saw recently, this is not another hike on top of that. That is this, essentially this, in effect, and we will look very closely at potentially lowering that sum if we can find things that can be eliminated from that and still allow the company to provide adequate service. The other thing, and I guess this is more the company's point to make, and I don't know if they intend to or not, I'll just throw it out there. You had mentioned that the cost of gas itself, which is outside of this rate case, but it is an impact on the customers, and we understand that. While it is significantly higher than it was a year and 2 years ago, it's actually less than it was I don't remember the exact times when it's spiked and then dropped, but you know, 12, 15 mm-hmm. years ago is actually more than it is now. And so gas is a volatile commodity. That is a reality that spans back many decades. And we're not gonna be able to change that. But one thing that is changing that adds to that volatility is as our electric companies move to more reliance on renewables that don't have a fuel supply, and in the case of wind, some days it's just not windy. If you're an electric company that is relying on wind generation and it's not windy, you probably have natural gas plants to back that up so you can still continue to generate electricity. And so at peak demand times, like we saw last February, your electric provider and your gas provider are bidding each other up and driving these costs up. And so that is one thing I think we need to point out too, that that is an issue that is causing this natural mm-hmm. gas commodity to be more volatile than it even has been over the decades. With that, I just look forward to hearing the company's short presentation and then getting feedback from our citizens that are Xcel natural gas customers.
Very good. All right, without any further delay, I'll turn it over to Dave Sederquist, who's here on behalf of the company to make a presentation about the drivers of this natural gas rate increase. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Commissioner, and good evening, everyone. My name is Dave Sederquist. I'm a senior regulatory consultant with Xcel Energy, and I and several of my colleagues are here this evening to describe a proposed natural gas rate increase that we filed with the commission last fall. We're also here to receive input from customers on this request, and while there's never a good time to file a rate case, and of course the timing of this case is particularly unfortunate given the rise in the wholesale community commodity gas prices, as the commissioners have mentioned here. We've been seeing those increased costs from our suppliers, but at Xcel Energy, we've worked really hard to control our distribution costs and design rates in a manner that has enabled us to actually avoid seeking a rate increase for 15 years. In North Dakota, Xcel Energy has seen about a 40% increase in natural gas customers over that period, and we've added over 260 miles of gas pipe. And as a natural gas provider in three of our largest communities in North Dakota, we've provided a good value, and we have not lost sight of the critical importance of providing safe and dependable natural gas service for heating homes and businesses and cooking food and heating water and for various industrial processes. As we look ahead, we see a continued growth in our service areas in and around the Fargo, West Fargo, and Grand Forks metro areas, where we serve about 61,000 customers. We are preparing to meet that growth with significant capacity expansion, renewing of aging pipeline infrastructure, and the refurbishment of our natural gas peaking facilities. As a customer of Xcel Energy, it's important to understand that your natural gas bill is comprised really of two primary types of costs. About two-thirds of your bill is for the wholesale cost of the natural gas commodity and its transportation to Xcel Energy's own distribution system. Wholesale gas prices have been deregulated since the 1980s. In other words, commodity gas costs are a function of a national market and subject to the forces of supply and demand. These costs are not regulated by the North Dakota Public Service Commission, although the commission monitors our natural gas acquisition practices. Xcel Energy relies on sophisticated purchasing strategies to cost-effectively acquire natural gas from our wholesale providers on behalf of our retail customers. And as one of the largest utilities in the country, our customers benefit from our tremendous purchasing power. Each month, we pass these wholesale costs directly to our customers on a dollar-for-dollar basis without any markup or financial benefit to Xcel Energy. In recent years, we've all enjoyed the benefits of very low wholesale prices, thanks mainly to technological advances in natural gas production. But in the past several months, we have seen rising prices, and many utilities, including Xcel Energy, have also had to apply an additional surcharge on the bills to spread and moderate the recovery of unusually high wholesale gas prices that occurred last February as a result of Storm Uri. And Storm Uri brought extremely frigid weather conditions to the entire central United States, all the way from North Dakota to Texas. And these wholesale cost increases have hit our customers very hard this winter, particularly as their consumption has increased dramatically due to a colder than normal winter. Our North Dakota rates will reflect the Storm Uri gas charge for another 17 months. And again, the company does not benefit financially from this pass-through of these wholesale costs. The other third of the bill is for the delivery of natural gas to your home or business through Xcel Energy's own gas distribution system. Now, these charges cover the investments in gas pipe and meters, compressor and regulator stations, trucks, and other equipment, as well as the distribution O&M expenses, and the costs related to the metering, billing, and customer service functions that we provide as a distribution company. This is Xcel Energy's business, and these are the costs that are regulated by the North Dakota Commission. The rates that you pay for these services are not affected by the wholesale gas market, and they are only adjusted in a proceeding such as this one. I'd like to point out a few additional things about your gas bill. Xcel Energy was one of the first utilities in the country to implement a fixed monthly charge for all of its residential distribution-related services. Again, these are the costs that make up about a third of your bill. This rate design makes a lot of sense, since the cost to deliver gas to your home or business is not dependent really on how much gas you consume, but rather on the costs of gas pipe, meters, and other fixed costs. This fixed rate design not only helps to keep bills low during those high-use winter months, it also results in a better matching of revenues and costs, and that also helps to reduce the frequency of rate cases like this. And while we all bemoan the recent increases in wholesale gas costs, prices today are actually about 30 to 35% lower than they were in 2007 when we had last filed a rate case. In fact, we expect that on average, your overall monthly residential gas bill this winter will be about $25 less than during the winter of 07 and 08. On this chart, you can easily see how the typical gas bill varies throughout the months of the year. This is a function of both the volume of gas being consumed and the varying prices of wholesale natural gas during those different seasons of the year. But I want to draw your attention to the dark portion of the bars near the bottom. You'll note that there's the stable residential charge that customers pay Xcel Energy to deliver the gas to your home does not change by gas usage. It is a consistent charge each and every month of the year. People in our region may not realize it, but if you live in North Dakota and are a gas customer of Xcel Energy or MDU or Great Plains, you are paying some of the lowest rates in the nation for natural gas on a per therm basis. These are the state rankings for 2020, which was the most recent calendar year that data was available from the Energy Information Administration. North Dakota was second only behind Idaho as the state with the lowest average natural gas rates. Now let's zoom in a little bit to the utilities serving only the states of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Montana. In 2020, our average natural gas bill in North Dakota, and it's shown in the red bar there, and by the way, this reflects all 12 months of the year. This is an average bill, including even the warm summer months. Our prices in North Dakota are in the upper quartile in the region for providing value to customers at the lowest cost. And now let's take a look just at Xcel Energy's natural gas bills over time, and we're considering the 15-year period since our last rate case on this chart. As I mentioned previously, our average winter heating season bill in 2007 of $126 on the far left there is actually $25 more than what we expect this winter's average bill to be, which is on the far right there, $101. And that's even with the interim increase that went into effect last November. And when you compare these bills over the years to the rate of inflation, which is shown as the black dashed line, you can really see that the value of service provided here is quite evident. So what's this case about? In September, we filed a request for a $7.1 million increase in our distribution-based rates. We were allowed by the statute to implement an interim, what they call an interim increase, during the proceeding. That went into effect on November 1, and it will stay in place until final rates are approved and go into effect. And that will likely be sometime in the fall of this year. Now, if final rates end up being lower than the interim amount that was collected, the company will refund the difference to customers with interest. The average bill impacts of the proposed increase by class range from 10 to 15% as shown here. We acknowledge that these are not insignificant increases expressed as a percentage, but as we've shown when viewed within the context of being the first base rate increase in a decade and a half, even these percentages fall below an annual rate of inflation. Now, many customers may be wondering why Xcel Energy is seeking higher rates at this time when wholesale gas costs are also rising and the recovery of Storm Uri costs is still reflected in our bills. The timing is very unfortunate, there's no doubt about that. It does take many months to plan and develop the financial studies and the expert testimonies to support a rate application. Quite frankly, the company did not anticipate either the long-term impacts of Storm Uri or this year-end market-driven rise that we've seen in wholesale gas costs when the decision was made to go ahead and file this application. That said, in recognition of these wholesale gas cost issues and the impact that we're seeing on our customers, we did make two adjustments last fall to address the timing and the impact of this rate case. First, working with commission staff, we agreed to eliminate about $1.3 million from the proposed interim rate increase. Secondly, we received approval to lower our current Storm Uri charge by extending the recovery period an additional 9 months. This adjustment enabled us to defer rate recovery, and in doing so, we more than offset the incremental impact of the interim rate increase. Perhaps the biggest driver on the timing of this request, though, is the completion this past fall of a major pipeline capacity expansion project in the Fargo, West Fargo area. We installed 4.5 miles of new 12-inch diameter gas main pipeline, and we added a new regulator station in the southwest quadrant of that metro area. This project, which went into service in November, is the driver for nearly half of the pending rate request. This was the single largest gas distribution project that Xcel Energy has ever completed in North Dakota, and it becomes our cornerstone investment for meeting growth in this area and ensuring reliability into the next decade. The project was on top of the millions of dollars that the company has already made in investments over the years and are still making to install new service lines, renew aging gas mains, and relocate our infrastructure when necessary to accommodate street and other city projects. We've also embarked on a project to refurbish our 2 propane and 1 LNG gas storage facilities. These are called peaking facilities because when the LNG and propane are vaporized, they provide an additional gas resource during the coldest periods of the year when customer demand is at its peak. These facilities are located near the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. They serve both our North Dakota and Minnesota gas distribution systems, and North Dakota customers are allocated a little over 12% of the cost of these facilities. And just as a general matter, I will note that part of this rate case is also due to inflationary and other increases in our operating and maintenance costs, property taxes, and information systems costs. We're always happy to see strong economic activity in our North Dakota service areas and the customer growth that comes with it. And while this growth does help to provide additional revenue, and that helps offset for a time the rising cost to serve, after so many years, the additional investments and higher O&M expenses needed to maintain a safe and reliable gas distribution system just become too great to fund without additional rate relief. This chart illustrates the kind of growth that we've been experiencing in the last 5 years and what we expect to see in the next 5 years. And we believe that our system has to be ready to meet these increasing demands. I mentioned the significant capacity expansion project we completed in October in the Fargo-West Fargo area. The new gas line is shown as a blue line running from the top of the map to the bottom, primarily along 9th Street in West Fargo, under I-94, the red line, and then along 55th Street South in Fargo. We're very proud of the way our project managers collaborated with officials from both cities to complete this project within the budget and a month ahead of schedule, and that even includes most of the restoration work. This project will enable us to meet demand growth for another decade. Our current rate design, that is the fixed monthly charge, does allow the company to promote natural gas conservation to residential customers without experiencing any revenue loss. So we offer four different programs that North Dakota Gas customers can access to lower energy use and save money. Discounted home energy audits provide customers with actionable items to improve the efficiency of their homes, while furnace and boiler rebates offer customers additional incentives to install more efficient heating equipment. We also offer rebates for qualifying efficient hot water heaters, and we offer free low-flow shower heads to conserve hot water. Xcel Energy also takes steps to helping customers manage the energy bills, including our budget billing plan and working with customers on acceptable and flexible payment arrangements. When needed, we will help customers connect with their area community action agencies for financial assistance, and the company annually contributes to the state's Energy Share program. On our online energy store, customers can purchase programmable thermostats, LED light bulbs, and other energy-saving products at discounted prices. And we offer other online energy information and tools for customers who are looking for ways to save energy. Lastly, we proactively issue news releases and emails that provide important gas safety tips or other helpful information, such as how to prepare for winter, where wholesale gas prices are at, and how to reduce energy use, to name a few. With respect to the procedural schedule in this case, we're currently in a period of time that's referred to as discovery, in which the commission staff and their consultants review our proposal and the associated financial information, and then ask the company questions or submit requests for even more data. After this, the staff will submit on March 1st its own testimony in the case, where they will discuss their findings and make recommendations to the commission. The company will have an opportunity to respond with its rebuttal testimony on April 1st, and then this is followed by another round of responses from the parties in both late April and early May. Formal hearings have been scheduled to occur on June 1st through the 3rd. Here in the commission hearing rooms. The commission will review the evidentiary record then and likely issue an order sometime in the fall. In summary, the company has worked hard over the past 15 years to avoid increasing its gas distribution base rates. We're proud to say our overall rates and bills are among the lowest in the nation and the region. And the $7.1 million rate increase that we are proposing to the North Dakota Commission only affects the rates that we charge for distribution services, which makes up about a third of the typical residential bill. The increase is needed to fund the investments that we're making to maintain system reliability, meet customer growth, and ensure that we are complying with all safety requirements. We are also seeking in this case the opportunity to earn a fair rate of return on our North Dakota investment. Lastly, we're committed to working with our customers who are having difficulty managing their energy bills. If you need assistance, please go to my.xcelenergy.com/customer support to get connected with the right resources. Thank you for your attention, and company representatives are available to address any questions or concerns at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. At this time, we can open it up for any questions from the public. Do we have any people have called in? Is there anybody on the bridge? Do you want to open it and or give them instructions to see if they want to speak? Do we have that ability?
I think we take those alphabetically.
Yeah. So. Okay, for the listener out there, if you have an interest in sharing any thoughts with us, hit *9 and we'll loop you into the conference room here.
And we're anxious to hear people's thoughts. We benefit from hearing people's thoughts, and it causes us to think of things that maybe we want to delve into deeper or have our staffs who, staff people who are really experts in these areas dig deeper. So we like hearing from y'all.
All right. Well, we typically have left this open for a little while, just in case others call in and want to share their thoughts. So, what do the website instructions say to people? So she's got her phone calls.
Yeah.
They can call you directly. Okay. Well, I'd be surprised if we don't get any calls tonight. But I guess I did describe this as probably as interesting for folks to participate in or feeling as getting a root canal. So... Okay, sure. Oh yeah, that's a good point that people, they are just listening. You can, and don't want to call in, you can send us what your thoughts are and concerns by email and also by regular mail. And those addresses are also on the website. Say what? End in the notice. I would assume so. And part of the,
yeah,
they get posted on the
so we have
public input.
Store them on an internal site. I believe their public record. So I don't know if they're like staff generally for them to have a whole going to the
And Stacey, most of those emails are that you're receiving are about the significant increase in the gas and the why are they paying for the Texas storm, and is there a 10.5% increase on top of what they're already paying, which is a huge bill. That's generally. Okay. I feel like the muscular dystrophy. Like, what did they have that telethon? Were they waiting for people to call? Yeah. call the number.
It looks like we have a few lines open right now.
A few lines open.
So
we've
great
got
time to call.
Stacy and Jason waiting here to take your calls. Oh.
Well, maybe people are still celebrating. I think UND swept hockey last weekend.
True.
And the SU still. Fargo people are still celebrating the national championship again. So,
seems
occupied right now.
Seems like people are kind of bored with that national championship.
I'm not.
To be a little bit more challenging in the future or something.
I still enjoy them.
Doesn't seem to be getting the jaw-dropping claims. It seems to be like so surprising that they won a national championship. Like a real opponent? Probably not, I doubt it. They don't like those.
real opponents, Dave.
The sad thing was that 2020 opening game, when that was, if not the best, one of the best teams we ever had, and they were scheduled to play Oregon. And you know, I don't know that that didn't turn out to be one of Oregon's necessarily best teams, but still like probably a top 10 or 12 sure. national team. I think the Bison were competitive in that game and potentially could have won that.
But it got canceled because of COVID.
Yeah. That was, that's a sad thing to lose that opportunity.
Well, they'll
and
have,
now you
yeah.
just can't get those games against those teams anymore. It's, you won't do it.
They don't want to risk non-conference stuff because of COVID. Yeah.
Well, no, they I mean, the Bison have beaten six or seven teams in a row that end up typically top 25. And those hurt.
Yeah.
And there's not much to gain, so they win. Then
sure.
nobody's impressed, so.
That's true. Have to just change leagues. Just have to bite the bullet.
No one will come here to play games.
Well, if they're in the league, they have to.
And they won't let us in the league. You know, the Nebraskas
well,
or
so
Minnesotas and stuff. They don't want to come to Fargo. Mm.
No question.
They're in a tough pickle.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I say we keep it open till 6:15.
Okay.
And then we can say, well, there's still opportunities for providing your comments, but in other ways. Does anybody have any good utility jokes? Yeah. That's true. Oh, regulator humor is pretty funny. Usually doesn't take much to get a big laugh. I have it. I actually have it. My daughter texted it to me not that long ago. She likes pulling it out. Oh, it is so bad.
Oh, goodness. Oh my goodness.
You were here. Maybe you were gone then.
Must not have been in the room. I mean,
or listening online. A few years back, not that long, maybe a year ago,
yeah.
In a commission meeting, I got the giggles right in the middle of reading my motion on some pipeline thing that was really boring.
Sure.
And I could not stop. I read it, and then I stopped and started chuckling, and then tried to compose myself, and chuckled some more, and then... It's like, oh goodness.
Okay,
I got it now. I can do it now. I'd start again and just burst out into giggles. It was bad.
Yeah, it was. I was really embarrassed.
Oh. I think I was sitting there and Brian was here and you were way over there. Yeah.
We were opposite like that.
Yeah.
I did my best to help you, too.
Yeah, I know you did. Oh, good.
She can tell when a phone call's coming.
They must have.
About to start calling her radar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's impressive. Wrong number.
She gets the number and then brings it to you and you call her. Call him back.
So we'll be calling Beth.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi there, Beth. This is Julie Fedorchak from the North Dakota Public Service Commission.
Yeah, hi, Julie. I've been watching the telecast, but it was hard to figure out what number to call to get in and on your conversation.
Okay.
I do have a question for you.
Excellent.
I know that Dave was talking about the fact that the prices today are 30 to 35% lower than 07 and 08. But I have never paid as much for my heating as I have this last month. I've never paid more than $300 ever that I can recall. $300, maybe a few plus dollars. And my heating bill went up, excuse me, by $200 this last month. I don't keep my heat up high. I have a very modest 3-bedroom home. In the past few years, I've put in new windows and added insulation. And so I have never, ever paid this amount. And it was jaw-dropping when I opened my bill. So I'm wondering, that's my first question. And the second question was that you had mentioned that we have been paying that interim rate increase already. And I wondered how many months we've been paying that.
Sure. I think I'll let Dave. Do you want to answer those two questions, Dave?
I have a quick answer for the second one. The interim rate went into effect 2 months after our filing date, so it went into effect on November 1 of 2021. Okay. Your other situation with respect to your gas bill is interesting. I'm not sure what to say about that, because we have gone back and looked at pricing data. Of course, our information that we presented tonight is average, average usage and average bill, so there might be something with that. I also have a colleague on the line. I'm wondering if maybe she might have a comment about that, about your situation, never having paid that much before.
I'm also on a follow-up on the neighborhood link next door, and I know there are several people in Fargo that have commented this last month that was just significantly higher. Someone from the Clara Barton area in Fargo paid $850 for their home this past month for heat, and they couldn't believe it. And there were just numerous comments on Nextdoor about the increase this past month in Fargo. So I know based on those comments that I'm not the only one that's been seeing that.
Right, and even personally myself, my bill doubled to the last gas bill that I received. So I know that's happening. But even at that, you know, I'm looking at a $200-some bill instead of a $100 bill, so it's not $800. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting.
Beth, do you happen to have your bill in front of you?
I do not. I can go and get it.
Well, I'm just curious if you would be able to read it and tell us like the breakdown of, because it should show like what you're being charged for. Like how many decatherms and what the price is and all of that, where the significant costs are coming in. Obviously, it's probably in the usage, we'd hope, but it just seems, Dave, I'm starting to get kind of concerned that maybe something is off. I mean, an $800 gas bill?
Yeah, that's extremely high. I do know that the temperatures were a lot colder this,
yeah,
you know, December and January.
I get that. I do get that, but it's not like I keep my home at 69, maybe 70 max. I have part of my basement is electrical heat. My upstairs, my main floor is gas hot water heat, which is about as efficient as you can get. So what specific did you, so I have a mixture of two different heats going in my house. But what specific did you want as far as me to read you from my charges?
If you look on the, is there a section just on the gas?
Mm-hmm.
Can you determine what kind of, what your usage was, how many decatherms, and do they compare it to the last month or?
Yeah, it was increased from the last month. So based on my meter reading, I had last month 2171 and this month 2349. Or this is the most current month that I was charged for.
Okay. And what was the rate for the cost of the gas? What was the rate for, and I suppose you don't have both months.
Yes, is there a line that says cost of gas? And then
yeah, it's 0.752553.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
and would it have been the same rate the month before, Dave?
No, it probably changed a little because our cost of gas rate will change
set
each
monthly.
Month. Yep. But so I have a question for you. How much was the dollar amount then for your cost of gas?
So just the cost of gas was $141.48.
Okay.
But then with delivery service charges and interim rate adjustment and city fees and, you know, additionally.
So the delivery charge should have been like $18?
Yes.
And that gets us to $160.
1848, and then interim rate adjustment 551.
Okay.
City fees 331. So it was 168.78 in four. So it'd be for my upstairs, but then my, you know, some of this is involves also my Excel also includes my electrical charges, and so my basement runs on more electrical heat.
Okay, so your gas bill sounds sort of in the ballpark at 160 some dollars, and it's quite possible that your electric bill has gone up over the years.
But $200 enough from last month for $200.
Yeah, that seems like quite a
bit. It's like huge, and I've never paid. Like I said, I've always paid in the ballpark of max on the coldest months. Of the coldest years, my max has been around 300, 294, maybe, you know, 307, but just right around that 300 mark. And then to be almost, you know, to be about $500 as last time, it was stark, very stark.
What was your total this time?
So my total last month was 278.54.
Uh-huh.
And my total this month was 487.17.
So that would mean that your electric bill alone is over $300.
My electric bill alone is, yes, close to that.
And is that the highest you've ever seen it, your electric bill?
This is the highest bill I've ever gotten for either that I can remember. I don't know if it's, you know, all specific electric or electric is always higher than gas naturally, but in my home anyhow, it always tends to be a higher cost. But it's been, yeah.
And your basement is heated with electric baseboard heat?
Partly it is. I have two rooms that are not, that still have gas hot water heat. but the rest is electric baseboard.
Mm-hmm. And you keep that at 70 also, ish, 69.
Well, in some other rooms and downstairs, I have it at 65.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, it was jaw-dropping, to say the least.
Beth, would you mind if we contacted you later and took a look at some of your billing history to see if we could see something changing?
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, at Christmas, I didn't have Christmas lights. I had a tiny little 2.5 foot or 2 foot Christmas tree. I mean, so nothing really significant as far as added Christmas lights or anything like that, you know, from this past month. So it just a real change. I just have no idea where that came from or why. But I haven't been the only one, because I'm next door. When you follow that link as far as increase in heating costs, everybody, and even my son lives in an apartment, and a small two-bedroom apartment. He was paying last year like $60. He only heats two of his rooms in his apartment. He turns the heat off and the rest, and it was over $100 this past month. So his went up from 60 to 100 for just a two-bedroom apartment. And he's on the third floor, so usually he gets the excess of whatever raises up from below, you know, so he usually pays less.
Now that one sounds a little more in line just with the increased cost of gas. You know, it's up that much. It's just like you go to the pump and you buy gas.
I realize the cost of gas has gone up significantly.
So that piece on your son's apartment makes sense, but your electric that's a substantial increase. That doesn't, I'm actually more puzzled by your electric increase than your gas. Just because that's a big jump.
It's a huge, huge amount.
Well, Beth, we've got your number. We'll give it to Dave and they will give you a call, and you get back to us if you have any further things you want us to take a peek into.
Okay, we'll do.
Beth, before you hang up, this is Randy, the other commissioner. I just want to say, mm-hmm. typically, this opportunity is for you all to comment to us. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of callers lined up, so we kind of grilled mm-hmm. you here like you were doing something wrong. I hope it didn't come across that way. I really appreciate you opening up and providing that information to us. Our analyst experts are in the room, and I think we're all learning a lot that we need to follow up as we process this case. So thank you for your
well, I'm just diligence. Yeah, I'm fortunate that there weren't more people on watching me tonight or listening. I know it was limited as far as involvement from other people, but like I said, there was a huge discussion on Nextdoor, and which is a social network for neighborhoods, and all across Fargo, Moorhead area, everyone has been commenting about their rate increase just this last month having been huge, significant. So,
well, thank you so much for taking your time, and yeah, I hope that you didn't feel like we were grilling.
Oh no, I'm. No, that's just fine.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you being upfront with us about what you're experiencing, and I hope we'll stay in touch with Dave too about what sorts of things you guys find out as you explore that more deeply. All right, thank you so much. What are the number? I'm going to just tell them the numbers so that if people can't find it on the website. Okay, so the number to call if you want to share some comments or questions with us is 328-4081. 328-4081, that's 701. And we will get your name and number, and we will call you back on the quote-unquote air. All right, so we've got another person ready to ask us a question.
There's
Hello.
Hi there, Bob. This is Julie Fedorchak calling from the Public Service Commission.
Yes, Julie. Yes, I see you on the screen.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Yes, I must comment, and Beth did make the comment, but I don't know if you picked up on it, but I had a very difficult time getting a hold of you. I was I had the little I had a little bit of complication. Oh, I'm getting some feedback here. Let me turn
hello,
down.
Hello. Yes, I must comment, and Beth did make.
Oh, you've got your.
Yes, I muted it now, so
okay.
We don't and we don't have that 7-second delay, so don't worry.
Hopefully, we won't need that.
No, you won't need that. But you gave the number now, but I think you would have had more calls if it would have been flashed up on the screen, either in the very beginning or when Dave started speaking. I'm wondering, Dave, I see you packed up your stuff almost, but I wanted to, if you could go back to the screen where you have the pipeline installed in West Fargo. I'd like to see that screen where you put the where the pipeline was installed this year, and then the station. Are you able to get that back up?
There. Is that
it? The screen with the map that's showing?
Was it, Bob, is it the, did it have a map on it? Was it?
Well, it had just a small map off on the left side.
Yeah.
And it's still after what's up on the screen right now.
Oh, that's.
There it is, yes. I couldn't make out, so where is the pipeline on that map?
It's the blue line right in the middle of the map, running from the top right to the bottom, and you can see it goes underneath I-94, which is a red line horizontal.
Okay.
And then it follows more residential streets, kind of down to near 32nd Avenue.
Exactly. And you said that was, how long was that?
It's about a 4.5 mile line. It's 26,000 feet.
And then you said there was a, it sounded like there was a building or a station.
Oh, yeah, there's a new regulator station that's been built. I'm not sure where that's located, but it's somewhere in this quadrant.
Okay. Now, was that added because of the expansion of West Fargo, or was that something you were going to do anyway?
No, that's part of the meeting the growth in that area. That part of the metro area is growing much faster than any of the, you know, other north or west aspects of the metro area. So the regulator station was located down in that quadrant to meet that growth.
Okay. And then is Xcel the provider for the energy source in Texas?
No.
No.
I'm not sure what you mean by energy source.
Well, that you're the company that are providing them the natural gas, that you are the provider. Like, you are my provider for my natural gas.
Correct.
So are you the provider in Texas for the people living in Texas? And
No.
Okay, so then would you explain to me why the calamity of Erie and the grid failure in Texas is something that we are paying for?
Yeah, I think, Bob, the best way to describe it is it comes back to the supply and demand for natural gas because of the cold snap covering so much of the country and sort of wreaking havoc, if you will, on some of the equipment, thereby cutting the supply of natural gas. As I mentioned in my presentation, wholesale gas costs are a function of supply and demand, and it's kind of a national market. So because of the far-reaching effects of Storm Uri, it created a lower supply of natural gas, and of course, because of the cold weather, demand was really at a peak. And so you have low supply, high demand, you're going to have high prices.
Yes, I understand that aspect. But what I can't get my head around is when you talk about Erie and the situation last year, and then how that still hasn't, they haven't recouped that loss, and then there is still payment to catch up from that loss in addition to what has happened now this year. You know, it kind of seems like two things, because last year it seemed like we had a supply of natural gas. I didn't see any increases or hear of anything specific in terms of the availability of natural gas until, you know, maybe the middle part of, well, when gas prices started going up, you know, at the pump. And then that's when we were hearing more about it. And realizing then that because of the cost of gasoline going up, realizing then the true impact of the what seems to be a shortage or a difficult method of delivering natural gas or the supply of it. But
Bob, this is Julie. If I might add a little bit more to the situation here. So there's, as I see it, there's really three things culminating right now in the increase that you're paying, that you got billed. One is this rate increase that we're looking at today. I don't know if you were listening at the beginning, but there is a charge on your bill now for this higher rate. It's an interim rate increase, and the company started charging you that in November.
Yes.
If we, and that's just, I think it's like $5.80 or something to that effect on your bill. That rate is what we're evaluating through this case. And if we ultimately determine that the company hasn't justified that much of a rate increase and we settle on a lower rate, you will be credited back that difference starting from November. So they'll calculate what you paid, how much you paid that was excessive, and you'll get that money back. So that's one piece, is the rate increase that we're contemplating today on your service charge, basically your daily rate, your base rate. The second piece that you're paying is you're paying a charge for that increased gas cost from last February. There's just a few days in there where Xcel didn't have enough contracted supply. So they do contract in advance to try to get as much of their anticipated demand they're looking at secured in a firm contract, so that we don't have to buy it on the spot market. So but during that 4 or so days, they needed more gas to meet the demand from their customers because it was so cold. And so they had to go to the spot market, which is what Dave was just talking about. And that spot market, because there was huge demand and low supplies, that spot market price was really high. So what we did working with the company, because they accumulated such an increase in the cost of gas just for those 4 days, we didn't think it was appropriate to saddle customers with all of those increased charges in a short amount of time, say 1 or 2 months. We extended that payment over 24 months. So you're paying the full cost of that increase, which is approximately $240 per customer, over the course of 24 months. So that's another line item on your bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third and the largest contributor to your increase right now is the actual cost of gas today, which is way higher than it was prior to the winter storm, Uri. And that's what you were paying a year ago. So the cost of gas and how much you pay for each decatherm that you use is a lot higher, and so that's driving your bill up. I compare it, it's not a perfect comparison, but I compare the, you know, like when the winter storm Uri stuff in particular, when there's a freeze in Florida and all the oranges freeze, and then there's a short supply of oranges, the price of oranges goes way up. That's what we saw during winter storm Uri. And we're still, to some extent, seeing higher prices in the gas market because of a whole bunch of factors, decreased production in the U.S., geopolitical forces, a lot of different pressures are driving that cost of gas higher. But it's ultimately, you know, having a big impact on individual customers like you and everyone in the Xcel territory and others, MDU and others, Otter Tail. Not Otter Tail, they don't have gas. But so that's kind of how I try to break down the charges so folks can better understand what's driving what and what piece of it you might have control over and how we're trying to mitigate these expenses for folks.
Yes, I get that. I understand that. So, and I appreciate your explanation. I am wondering now that interim rate increase that was approved back in September and became effective November 1st, that interim rate that rate increase, whatever the percentage was that a 10.5% increase back then, that interim rate, as opposed to the one that's being projected?
It was approximately 10.5, wasn't it, Dave?
No, actually, the the proposal is a 15% increase for residential customers, and the interim was more like 12.8%.
Okay. What I read in the Fargo form was a 10.5% rate increase, but it's actually, the request is for 15%.
Well, I think the 10.5 is average of all the customer classes, and if you're just looking at the residential, I think that the rate, what Dave was just saying, what they're proposing is more like a 15% increase for residential customers. Again, they're collecting that today. What we're anticipating is not an additional amount on top of what you're already paying.
Yeah.
It will be what you're paying or likely less.
Yes, okay. Well, I do appreciate your time. I do appreciate this forum. I feel that if the number had been out there a little bit earlier, maybe you would have gotten more calls. But I know in speaking to the community at large, of course, people are not happy with the increases, and some people have made the comment that their rate increased three times. And when I hear Beth's story and her neighbors at $500 and $800, then I feel I have no reason to really register a concern. I did send an email, and I talked to Stacy, and I understand that I expected more people would probably email their dissatisfaction with the extent of the rate increase, but it's hard to judge what John P. Or John Q. Public is thinking. But it is as it is, and I guess you've answered my questions, and I am concerned about the rate increase. Most of the people I know are on fixed incomes and still living in their own homes, and so it does become a concern for all of us in that regard. But thank you. I appreciate the time that you're giving, and now we're over the 6:30 hour, and so just know that you're appreciated, and I do appreciate the information that Dave provided.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. This is Randy, and we appreciate you putting the time in and sharing your thoughts with us. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome to it, and God bless you.
Thank you, Bob.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Any more, Stacy? Okay. There was somebody else that dropped off. Oh, so we want to call one more? Is there one more to call? Oh, okay. Very good. We're going to reach out to the next person. And we actually don't have a conclusion time stated, so if folks still want to call, feel free to do so. We'll stick around as long as we need to. Okay. I wonder if it's the John Sweeney I know.
Hello?
Hi there. Is this John?
This is.
John, it's Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission giving you a call. I understand you have some thoughts for us to share.
I do, Julie, and thank you for taking my call this evening.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
So I have a couple questions. In looking at the notice that comes out from Xcel Energy, they said the comment period would be the spring of 2022. Looking outside, I don't see any green grass or any sort of foliage coming out. I'm curious as to why Xcel Energy would be more transparent, letting their customers know about this call. And so they could provide some input in regards to the question at hand.
I think the message on the bill was put together long before there was any public input sessions scheduled. I am fairly certain that we try to get that bill message on there right when the interim rates are going into effect. So that could be us just trying to predict the approximate time frame for discussions like this.
My understanding, based on feedback from Stacy, because I did email the commission, they were nice enough to respond, was that this hearing was scheduled the 15th of December.
Right.
When did you receive the notice that you're referring to, John?
So it was, I had emailed, I think, the Public Service Commission back in December. Mm-hmm. And then in that communication, it stated that this hearing was actually scheduled as of the 15th of December. So there would be time, and I guess I'm questioning Xcel Energy as to why they wouldn't be more transparent or update that message to their customers, letting them know that there was actually a hearing scheduled, which is this evening, and there would have been time for them to, you know, maybe make time in their calendars to participate. So it's just an observation.
It's a good, yeah.
Sure, thank you.
I think that's a good point. We haven't used, like, from the commission's standpoint, we haven't asked the company to get the word out through bill stuffers to customers about this. Usually, I don't know that we'd be able to schedule them far enough advance to get on that in the bill stuffer calendar, but it's definitely worth a try, and they have other ways of reaching the customers. So I think you raise a really good point, so thank you for bringing that to our attention.
I do have some other comments, though. So Dave mentioned 61,000 customers, $18.48 a month. That's $1,000,001 in just the base service charge, and it's over $13.5 million in a calendar year. I think about the home I live in. I have natural gas, obviously, in it. That service has been in place to my home with that meter for 65 years.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last comment.
So my question to you is this. you know, 61,000 customers receive natural gas that you commented on. Mm-hmm. That's 1,000,001 a month in, you know, the base fee that Xcel Energy collects, or $13.5 million a year. I look at the infrastructure that I have today being delivered to my home, and I've been a customer, you know, this home has been a customer for 65 years. I would anticipate that that cost has been recuperated several times over in that time frame that it's been used. And I don't know if it's been updated. I know in the 16 years I lived here, there has not been any change in regards to natural gas delivery to my home. So what I'm pointing out is there's been no additional expense on behalf of Xcel Energy to provide that to my home and a number of homes in the community. But it seems like that's what you're asking for.
Well, and that's, thank you for that question. That's probably more a result of how rate making works, where we are looking at all of the costs of serving all of our customers, and it's sort of socialized over that whole group. So it's not a situation where if you have been in a home for decades, now you've paid off your service costs and now you're done paying. There are costs, you know, outside the costs of your service pipe and the meter, and there are ongoing costs, obviously, maintenance. And there are costs for new mains and renewed mains. And so all of those costs get sort of bundled into one pool, and then we design rates out of that. So I don't know if that helps, but that's how rate making works.
Well, I would further that comment, being that my street was just improved here in the last few years, 3 years, in fact. New water, new sewer, new sidewalk, new gutter. With that expense was borne by me as a homeowner. Mm-hmm. I was assessed for that renewal in my neighborhood. That expense wasn't borne by my neighbors blocks away. That was borne by me as a benefactor to that service. You also know there's 5,000 new customers that you're starting to serve in the past 6 years. Mm-hmm. Those customers are paying fees for base service to you that you did not receive prior to. Right. So they, in turn, are helping to offset that cost of $27.5 million that you're using to upgrade and expand service within the community, where there's been substantial growth. So with that said, why isn't Xcel Energy looking to the entire community to recoup that when they actually are recouping that just by an increase in number of customers?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question or the point, but again, all of the costs that we compile in our rate case test year are essentially designed into rates based on the forecasted sales that we have coming in, and there's no distinction between different customers that have been on the system for a long period of time versus new customers. It's done differently than sidewalk repair or street work, I guess is all I can say.
Okay, so I guess I would ask this question the second way. How many new customers is Xcel Energy have today versus 6 years ago?
About 5,000.
Okay. So if we take 5,000 new customers, mm-hmm. paying you $18.48, if we think it's all residential, right, that's $92,000 a month. Mm-hmm. That's $1,000,001 a year.
Okay.
An additional revenue based on the previous infrastructure that was in place that you are receiving. Multiplied over 5 years, that's approximately $5.5 million. So now you upgrade that service to additionally expand accommodate for growth in the next 10 years. I don't know what that population number is going to look like, but the point is you have benefited based off the old infrastructure, additional fee income on base rate, but now you're asking for an additional 15% on top of what I'm paying today.
Yeah, there are more costs than just simply the cost of hooking up a new customer. I mean, there are costs that we incur to ensure that our system has the capacity, for example. And I would welcome any of my colleagues to jump in here if I'm not answering these questions the way I should be. But there are costs to, for example, renew old mains that have served out their life, and those costs do not generate any new revenue at all. So there are a lot of costs that need to be incurred that do not have any offsetting revenue. The costs of new customers barely cover, and maybe in most cases don't cover, the costs of the equipment that we need to hook them up. So because of the rising costs of materials and all of that. So I feel like I'm still not quite getting your point, or like we're talking past each other, but is any of what I'm saying making any sense?
No.
John, this is Julie Fedorchak. I think I hear what you're saying, and I understand it. I think you're making good points. What I'm going to sort of summarize what I've heard you say. I think what your frustration is that Xcel has long had these investments in their system here in North Dakota, and have been charging customers for many, many years for a system that, from your standpoint, seems largely the same year after year. And to the extent that it's changing, there's new customers coming on board, creating new revenue to cover the costs of the new expenses that they're causing on the system. And so why should they need to increase their base rates and increase that monthly service fee? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
I think that's a great summary, Julie.
Okay, good. So here's what I'll say. I don't have an answer for you because we haven't gotten to the end of the rate case, but I just want to explain kind of how we'll be looking at this. So we've got this, I think you're online, we've got this big binder and a couple others that kind of go into great detail about what the company is investing in and why, and outlines all the big components in their expenses and the drivers for their justification for this rate increase. Just in summary, they have said in some of their overview information that over the course of like the last number of years, they've invested $14 million into the system that's serving Fargo or serving North Dakota customers. And the increase in new customer revenue has generated $7 million approximately to cover those costs. And so the shortfall that they believe they have and are justified in covering with a rate increase from customers is that difference between what they've invested and what they've generated in new customer growth, which is about $7 million. So that's what they're seeking to get an increase in rates to cover. What we will do is go through line by line. Our advocacy staff, outside folks, third party, will tear apart their case, look line by line on what they're saying they need and why and whether the costs are justified or not. And then we will hear both sides of that argument, we being Randy and I and our third commissioner and then our staff. And then we will try to settle on what we think is justified in terms of what the company does need to make the system, to keep the system safe and reliable. And then they are entitled to earn a gain on their investments. So for their investors, they get to have a return on their investment, and we all settle on what that reasonable rate is, and then settle on a final rate. And that'll happen over the course of the next 6 months, I would say. There's a lot of back and forth between the company and advocacy staff and us, and there'll be a couple of days of a hearing that is scheduled now for June, I think June 1st through the 3rd. So that's sort of how it all will work, and we'll settle on what we think. They call it a revenue deficiency. They think is the revenues that they're deficient and aren't capturing in rates that are, they believe, justifiable expenses that should be covered by rates. And we'll work through the whole process and settle on a rate that we think is fair and reasonable. Dave has something to add.
John, and I think what you've been articulating, I think we're seeing some of that in that, again, it's been 15 years since these rates have changed, and there aren't a lot of things you can point to in your life and say that the rate has not changed for 15 years. So there is something to what you're saying, that good growth is helpful to avoid frequent rate cases like this. But it's not a forever situation. The capacity upgrade that we just made, that I talked about in the presentation, does not have direct offsetting revenues. There is a cost to that that supports the entire system.
But just, Dave, on that comment, though, alone, per the U.S. Census Bureau, in the last 10 years, the Fargo population has grown 19%, West Fargo has grown 50%. Not all that population growth has come from people who are members of Cass County Electric.
Right. We're getting some of that growth as well.
Well, John, I think you've raised some really great points, and I want you to know that our advocacy staff, who will be spearheading the analysis of the company's case, is in the room and taking, you know, note of what your comments are and others. He just raised his thumb. So.
And John, I wish you could see the grin on one of the advocacy people here. When we say advocacy, these people are... Our staff are well-trained professionals at this stuff, and the binder that Julie showed you is one of several in this case. But one of the next steps is they take information that we get from people like you who are kind enough to share concerns, and they're like a bunch of pit bulls going through those binders, and they're going to look at everything and try and keep... rates as low as possible, which is one of the reasons, and I know it doesn't seem like a very good prize when rates have taken a jump recently with that interim rate and the cost of gas that was talked about earlier, but the fact of the matter is North Dakota still does have some of the lowest rates around, and some of the reason for that is the great staff at the PSC that has worked these cases diligently for years.
No, I would echo your comments too, Randy. I mean, Stacey was absolutely wonderful reaching back out and providing me some information along with some dates in regards to this meeting. So your staff is very proactive and definitely wants to encourage the public to participate and provide some insight in regards to these meetings, because I think that's where some value is, and I appreciate yourself and Julie taking the question and Dave being present to listen to the feedback that we have to share in regards to, you know, being a consumer and what we see and what our concerns are.
The Public Service Commission service is our middle name.
Say, John, thank you. Appreciate you taking the time, and it's hard to express how empathetic I feel to utility customers, because you don't have a choice. You have to pay the bill, you have to have the service, and so it's not something that's lost on me as we look at these issues and really try to serve the role of competition for a utility like XL that doesn't have any competition and has captive audience like you. So please stay involved. And, you know, somebody in the earlier session suggested having another public input opportunity later in the case. We haven't typically done that, and I don't know if it's allowable in the schedule, but it is something I want to pursue. And so stay tuned, because we may have another opportunity to talk about this again as we get further along in the analysis and have more to share about some of these drivers. So thank you.
Well, no, thank you again, and appreciate the opportunity. Have a great week.
You too. All right. Any other calls? So I'm going to give the number one more time just in case there's folks who are still listening. But the number is 701-328-4081. That's 701-328-4081. We're still here. We're still happy to hear from you if you have any thoughts to add, concerns. Don't hear phones ringing. All right, it's quiet. Well, I sure appreciated the folks called in. I feel bad that we didn't have the number on as visible. We need to figure that one out, Steve. I'm not sure. Yeah, okay. And I know there was some numbers on the website, but if they were on the website and clicked on the meeting, then their screen went away from the website, so they couldn't see the numbers anymore. I'm assuming I should have read that number off myself. That would have worked too, yeah. Yeah, because it's not visible. If that's what they're seeing, you don't know what to call. Shoot. Okay. Well, I think we're probably good. 7 o'clock is an hour and a half. People would probably assume it's over by now. So, all right. Well, thanks for everyone who participated, listened in, took the time. Stay tuned on this. We're just really at the beginning, and there's a lot more work to do. So keep in touch, and remember you can send us your letters or your information by email and snail mail as well. Thank you, Dave, for being here. And thank staff, you. Thank you as well, Jason, for running the show. Righty, our input session is concluded.
Touching to hear all those compliments to our staff. I think these folks should just take the rest of the day off.
Good idea. Randy, you're so generous.